Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I'm trying to adjust this so I'm not as pale. It's how you feeling, by the way, Matt? You're under the weather.
Jimmy, I feel so bad that I did not make your show over the weekend. I never get sick, even during the whole pandemic, the COVID.
Right.
When do you ever hear me sick?
Never. You just didn't want to see your friends. See, I understand.
I had a virus 24. It was more than 24 hours, but I did not leave my bed. I lost some weight. I was a little lighter. I was like 187 the next day. Dude, I'm fucking late. I didn't eat for a whole day. Yeah. I was fucked up. But enough of that. I'm back now. I heard your show was great. I don't know if you've seen my guys there, but I had an army.
No, they were welcome to. I told Kenny, if anybody from Matt's place comes by, have them come up and say hello.
Yeah, they had a lot. They were in like a special. They had like their own box or whatever you call that thing over there.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see them, but they were more than welcome to come up. Anyone who said they were looking just to find you, to find Kenny, would have to come up.
Before we get the great John Hackelman, trainer of champions, in here.
And Azeem Sadikov, or is it Sadikov? I'm going to ask him exactly how he wants us to say that.
We like to call him Nas. He's my guy. He's
okay,
Nas.
Yes.
He's a fighter of ours. He did great.
Listen, he sure did.
But before we do any of that, I want to play a little video for you. If you remember, back when the Schmo was on, back January 30th, when we heard the news of the great John Jones fighting Ciryl Gane.
Yes.
Let's play that. Producer, bring it in. Play the video.
It's been 10 years, I believe, since Jones had a submission win. I'm not saying Jones can't win that fight, but I don't see him just taking Ciryl down and strangling him.
That doesn't mean he doesn't have the ability to fucking do it. If I had pillow hands, I wouldn't have the ability to switch up my game plan when I went for the title. He got bricks. John Jones, it's not like he doesn't have that in his fucking arsenal. He does.
Sure.
What's a good thing to bring into a fucking major heavyweight fight with a title on the line? Oh, let's do something people haven't seen before. Fuck yeah.
Maybe.
Let's go back. Hey, Jake, make note of this. We're going back to this fucking date. We're going to make a clip out of this. He's going to strangle him, round one. What do you want to fucking say? Either one of you.
Now, Jones, Ciryl Gane, we've both, you think he's going to take him out on the floor and strangle him, and I think he's going to go to a decision. I also think Jones is a very, very smart fighter, and he's also going to be very aware of getting caught can be a problem.
What if I did the podcast like this?
I'd prefer it.
First round sub.
No.
First round sub.
Okay. You know what? You've picked some really interesting ones lately, and you've been right about everything.
I haven't been right about everything.
No. I mean, when you've picked a couple of fights, you've picked them, you've analyzed them well before the fight, and you were right. I think two of our three last guests how well you've been picking fights lately. I've been shit.
Thank you, Jimmy. I love when you give me compliments.
All right, Let's say, here's the interesting part. First of all, nobody likes a sore winner, but
Matchadamus.
Not only did I pick Jones in the decision incorrectly, I then switched my picks. I like when we have opposite picks. I think it's more fun that way for us.
Yeah.
To Ciryl Gane in the third round. So I was totally wrong. And by the way, did I not text you immediately after and say, write again?
And did I not text you? Yes, you did. And did I not text you not to triple down on it immediately before, to triple down and say first round?
Yes.
Good.
Here's where I was also. First of all, I whenever I watch myself, I remember how much I blink. So my apologies to anybody that is, I don't know how you tolerate looking at me. And more importantly, I thought Jones, I got a little bit worried about my Cyril pick when Jones came in at 248 and Cyril came in at 247.5. You want to bring in John Hackman? We could talk about this with him, because I'd love to hear his perspective too.
Yes. But Jimmy, like you said.
Yep. I'm a stupid asshole. And you've been great, Matt. You picked some really good ones. Matt,
nobody's picking first round submission. I can't. You go, Matt, I looked at all the other. You didn't say this.
No, and I did say you've been picking some good fights.
But who else picked first round sub besides myself? Who?
I honestly don't know.
Nobody, Jimmy.
Nobody, yeah.
Nobody.
What's up, guys?
How are you doing? Good.
How are you?
I couldn't be any better. Couldn't be any better.
Isn't the martial arts the fountain of youth? We live very similar lives. We are both at our dojos. I'm sure 6-7 days a week. I'm there a lot. I see you always there. Yeah. It's what we do, John, isn't it?
It's our life. It's our life, and we wish that everybody understood what a great and fulfilling life it is. It's martial arts is, I thank God every day I wake up.
You know what's funny, John? The other day I had Longo stop by my school, and he came down. He brought one of his guys, Stephen Lee, is one of our fighters. He came down to spar with a couple of my guys, and he walks in, and I'm doing the master's class. It's on a Wednesday night, and it's 7:30. He goes, "What the?" So Longo, now this is a 40 and overs class. I love doing it. You know, I like to keep people on the mats. And sometimes some of the older guys, it's not that they can't hang with the younger guys, but you know, you got an older gentleman with his purple belt. You got a young kid, just, they don't know any better. Just spazzing out. I like to keep my guys on the mat. So Longo comes in with him. He's looking, he goes, "What kind of class is this? There's not a, everybody's hair is gray as shit. What is it?" He's actually heckling them. The guy, Longo's 64, but he's so young at heart because he's around these young guys. He's in the martial arts. Not to mention he has like hair like John Travolta.
Yeah.
But it's like with that mentality, like, I don't know. It just keeps young is what I'm saying. It keeps you young, I think.
I think it does. I love it. There's nothing in the world I'd rather do. And I have an older class too. The OGs come in and a lot of them are black belts from way back, and it's, there's something about martial arts, you know. You're more the BJJ side, I'm more the striking side, but we both do both, and we both love both, and there's nothing better.
Now, John, I don't know if you heard, like, right before we brought you in, we were playing tape of me, like an asshole, incorrectly predicting the fight. And Matt picked first round sub brilliantly. He picked it back at the end of January. He said he was going to pull him down and strangle him in the first round. Did you have this Jones fight picked, or did you think it was going to be a decision? What did you think was going to happen?
I thought it was going to be Jones within the first or second round, and I thought it would definitely be something to do with wrestling, because I don't think Ciro had the anti-wrestling embedded in him good enough yet. Like remember Chuck did, you know, he's just as good as Cyril is, he just doesn't have that yet.
And he has a lot of ability, but let's talk attitude. There's one thing to be like, maybe he doesn't have to be like DC and get emotional and cry, but yeah, he was like, shucks. He was like, did he go my way? He didn't. He doesn't get too upset. I don't know. Yeah. He just, I'm very upset. About what? About everything. He's chuckling. But are you really very upset? You know, I don't know. I maybe people handle it differently.
Probably shell shocked.
What else do you think it could be?
Maybe he's not that competitive. I don't know.
But look at, you could say that against somebody, like about somebody that's maybe in the lower end. But someone that's made it that far in different genres of martial arts, kickboxing, and now UFC champion. I would think first, like, why aren't you that upset? You should be that upset. You should be that passionate about it. But look what he's done already. So it's like, maybe that's just the way he handles that kind of stuff, because he seems to be, by his record and his history, a very competitive guy, right?
Is it possible, John, or like, sometimes we all suffer humiliations in life, whatever it is. And I, no matter how good Jones is, or how a first round sub in that fashion, it's embarrassing. Nobody wants to lose that way. Even though Cyril's a great fighter, everyone has an ego, and maybe it's crushing and you can't even begin to look at how bad that feels. So you're like, hey, whatever, it's okay. And you deal with that later when you get into the back when you're alone, because nobody, wasn't like it was a fourth round sub or, you know, a decision. This was a tough way to lose.
It's a tough way to lose, but as somebody at that level, I mean, I've been with some guys that level, and I'm sure Matt has too, but some guys just handle it different externally. I don't know what's going on inside. A guy like Steven Seiler, you know Steven Seiler. I mean, that guy, you know, he fought an Ultimate Fighter, and he had a bunch of UFC fights. He's beat a couple good guys, but I never seen him before, during, or after a fight, win, lose, knockout, bye, either. He just always is like, okay, hey, who's winning the game? Anybody know about the game? He'd be walking out of the cage, you know, just won a huge fight, you know, and he's like, hey, man, who won that game today? And he's just, some guys are handled different. Chuck, I never saw Chuck. I never saw Chuck go like that. What about you? How are you? You're probably pretty emotional, I would bet.
You're a passionate guy. Yeah, I had some close fights that, you know, I had the one fight where the one time ever that they actually raised my hand, and then backstage they reversed it with my buddy Dean Thomas. So I've had some weird ones that were like, and so. Yeah, I'd probably be a little bit more not emotional where I'm crying out of like being upset, but more like a little pissed off.
Yeah, I see that.
Unless it was like a fight where I knew, like I did, like a fight like where I didn't get the decision with Matt Hughes. I felt good that I just got my hands on him and I threw him around and shit. So I was like, ah. So I don't know. But my point with Ciryl Gane is, and I don't want to kick anybody when he's down, because I do think he's a great fighter, but I feel something similar when he lost to Francis, which he's like, yo, if I only didn't make, in my mind, if he only didn't make that one mistake in the fifth round by laying down with the leg lock, he could have been more adamant about that afterwards. Like, look, I took him down. I lost the fight. He didn't really win it. I went for the leg lock. He got on top. I gave away the fifth round. My bad. Not really his good. I don't know. I just think that's what you're looking at now. When you look at him and you look at how he handled that loss, I think that's part of it.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, look at Stipe. He doesn't even talking to I might have been Megan O'Leary, I don't remember who, after. Stipe is very, very kind of not emotional about it. Let's see what my coaches want to do. And Stipe is very, very low key, whether he wins or loses. He doesn't so yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that is just the way Cyril handles that shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's going to be an interesting fight right there. I mean,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Let's touch on that. Okay. Because I've seen Stipe. Now, I've seen him grapple. And he's not a guy that you're just going to take down and sub. I'm not making that prediction. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I predicted this last one because I seen what would happen. I felt in my heart there's a difference in levels. Man, Stipe is hard to put down. I've seen him submit some of my black belts. He's good on the floor, man. And then you look at what he did at the likes of guys like Overeem and big, tall, strong heavyweights. Man, he beat Francis that first time. That's a whole different animal. That is a very intriguing fight.
Yeah, yeah. And his work ethic is, I mean, he's just such a blue-collar firefighter, paramedic, UFC champion. That's a pretty impressive. Can you imagine, like, going in for a job and you gotta have a resume? He's like, you know, paramedic, firefighter, UFC heavyweight champion. Yeah. Like, all right, you're hired. I mean, that's a resume that guy has. And he carries it with him too. I mean, that's a busy, he must have like Franklin Covey, you know, for for his, he, his productivity and his planning must be pretty hard to plan that guy's life.
Yeah. And you wonder, does it make somebody's attitude when they're fighting different? Like, everyone has a life outside of fighting, but the fact that he volunteers to fight fires, I mean, you can't do anything more dangerous than fight fires. So you wonder, does that change the way you see the outcome of a fight? Meaning, is it less frightening for you or less at stake there because of what you do during your regular life?
I think the same way about Tim Kennedy, you know, right? That's a good point. And I feel the same way about Tim Kennedy. It's like, you know, Tim Kennedy started at the Pit, by the way. But anyway, yeah. So you look at someone like Tim Kennedy, and he's going to go in there and fight this really macho, muscular-looking guy. But then you think, wait, he was getting shot at in the middle. I don't think that intimidates him very much. So that, I thought that. Imagine if he was on that bus that they threw the, you know, he threw the,
yeah,
the metal through. Imagine if Tim Kennedy was on that bus, he'd be like James Bond, man. He'd be coming out of that bus probably with all kind of weapons all over it. That would have been a whole different outcome.
Tim Kennedy was such, I mean, I know he's retired now, but such a great fighter. Oh, I mean, God. You know, people don't realize he beat Hodger Gracie. Hodger Gracie is one of the best jiu-jitsu. I know it's jiu-jitsu, but yeah, Hodger Gracie is a phenomenal, and he beat him at his own game. He like stuffled him and he had him up against the cage. He like out grappled him in MMA. It was wild. And that Yoel Romero fight, he really got screwed on when Yoel was
the long count.
Yeah, I saw the long count.
Yeah,
and, really. And afterwards, he was holding him accountable about it. You know, I mean, he was something else. It's interesting. Now, let me ask you something. Because for instance, you said he's a pit fighter. He is a pit fighter, but if you watch him fight and you watched Chuck Liddell fight, you totally different styles.
Yeah.
What do you, as a trainer, John, you don't just make a cookie cutter. You like, no. You play to their strengths and.
Yeah. Yeah.
That? What's your mindset?
Yeah. Yeah. It's because I like it standing, you know, and Glover likes it on the ground. You know, it's like opposites attract. Remember Paul Abdul? You know, it's like.
Like me and Longo.
You what?
It's like myself and Ray Longo.
Yeah, yeah.
We balance each other out. Ray Longo loves the standing, and.
And then so together, you know, if I like right now on the team, probably half my guys would rather go to the ground, and half my guys would rather keep it standing. So during training, you know, I gotta kind of do a little of both, and mainly focus on one guy doing this and that guy doing other, and it can't be a cookie cutter because the fighters aren't all going to be the same. So it's doing them a disservice if I try to train them all the same. So guys like Chuck, you know, he knew exactly what he wanted to do and how to train him. And then towards the end of his career, I kind of wanted him doing more takedowns and getting hit less, maybe, you know, because he had great wrestling and he had great jiu-jitsu under John Lewis, you know?
Yeah.
So,
a shout out to old school John Lewis.
Yeah. But he chose, even at the end of his career, I was like, take him down, quit, you know, don't get so much damage. He goes, I don't want to. I'm not going to do that. You know, even if I can take him down, I want to keep it standing. That's what I like to do. That's what the crowd wants. That's what I'm going to keep doing. Whether it meant him getting KO'd or not, he chose and he wouldn't take him down.
Was that because like guys who just love the feeling of knocking somebody out? Did it kind of come down to that? Like, even though you knew he could wrestle, it just felt better to knock somebody out.
I think that was just him. Yeah, that was his everything. And that's, he wanted the crowd. He wanted to entertain the crowd and he wanted to punch someone in the face. So you put those things together and that makes for a good fighter right there. And he was good at wrestling. He was wrestled all through college and he was great at BJJ, but he wanted to keep us standing, even if it meant towards the end of his career, getting KO'd because his chin, you know, did kind of leave him there.
Now, Jimmy, let me tell you, if you have, I don't know if the great John Hackman still does private lessons, but if he does, Jimmy, and you're in Vegas, Jimmy likes to, listen, Jimmy could, just so you know about my friend, Jimmy, John, he's in New York City. And, you know, I worry about him sometimes. He goes on the subway. He's not a big gentleman. Now, John Hankelman has one of the nastiest left hooks from the jump that you'd ever seen. I know, John, I watch you, John. I watch your videos. And it's nice and relaxed. And it just, I'm not even going to pretend to show it. Because it took me a while for Longo to get my left hook somewhat respectable. But for a street situation, you love that left hook, don't you?
I love it. I love it for the street and for the cage, any sport, bring your cage, because it's right there. It's yes. So much close. This 2 feet right here, that's like an eternity in a real fight because yes. It takes that long. It's like in slow motion. Look what happened with who threw that over right. He overthrew the right hand and got taken down right away. This John weekend. Jones.
That was the main event.
The main, do you see what his main punch was?
Yes.
And instead of a snapping punch, like you know, that's a lot safer for the street. That's a great boxing punch because they can't do takedowns in boxing. So it's okay if you give up your back once in a while, like a spinning back kick for Valerie,
Valentina, yeah.
That wouldn't have been that much of a problem for Benny the Jet Urquidy, the best kickboxer who ever lived. If he misses a spinning back kick and he overshot it, the guy has his back. There's no takedowns. So things change so much for the street because in the cage, that's right there. That's our testing ground right there. The cage is the testing ground for the street. So if you throw that right hand and overthrow it, next thing you know, some guy in the street is going to slip it, get your back, lift you up, slam you down, hit your head on the ground. Next thing you know, you're waking up in a nursing home with a tracheostomy. So those kind of things mean so much. Those little movements, like instead of snapping it, they overthrow it. Or that spinning back kick, you know, it was too wide. If it was shorter, it would have hit, but it was a little too wide. She got her back. Imagine what would have happened in the street. Every time I watch a fight like that in the UFC, it's like how would that work in the street? How would that work? And that's how I started the pit back in 1985. You know, what's going to work in here versus what's going to work in the street? I started in LA and then little by little, I'm teaching these guys. I called it Hawaiian Kempo. I made that system back in 85. And then all of a sudden I get to some guy with a mohawk and next thing I know, we're taking a private plane to go fight somewhere.
So, that's how it started. Let's say about your now for the people that don't know, that's the guy with that's Chuck's coach with the glasses in his corner because you and Chuck are always together. About yourself, what is your background in the martial arts for people that don't know? What did you get started with?
I got started in Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm from Honolulu, Hawaii, and I don't know if you know it or not, but I had long blonde hair, and they don't like people with any kind of blonde hair, you know, so they have a thing, they call them Howleys, and it's what a white person is, and there was Kill Howley Day, beat up the Howley, give me your lunch money, Howley. So I started training really young in a system called Kaju Kempo, karate, judo, jiu-jitsu, kempo, and boxing, and that's where it was formulated in Honolulu, Hawaii in 1947, because all the military guys were over, white guys, and the locals didn't like that. So five locals got together and made up this street fighting system called Kaju Kempo. And that was my style. And it wasn't like Miyagi. It was more like the Cobra Kai guys. You know, they were black geese and they loved to fight. And there wasn't, you know, it wasn't an Asian type, you know, atmosphere. It was more street atmosphere. So Kaju Kempo is a very, you know, pretty hardcore martial art. It was a mixture of martial arts, a lot of takedowns, a lot of pounding on the ground, not many submissions except for a couple chokes, but a lot of ground and pound in Kaju Kempo. And so when I started opening my school in LA, I brought it up here into San Luis Obispo in 1990. And then I'm just teaching the belt system and the guys to learn, you know, how to defend themselves, mainly cops and stuff, local cops. Then all of a sudden there's a guy with a mohawk and he's saying, hey, can I go fight in this new UFC thing? It's like, bro, we're just training. We're going to be, you know, I don't do that anymore. He's like, oh, come on. I think I can make it. I was like, okay, if you want to do it, let's do it. Next thing I know, we got, you know, Chuck and Glover and Cord and this and that. And the whole thing, now that Glover's done, I'm done. I can go back to Hawaiian Kempo, teaching people how to defend themselves on the street and not let people take their lunch money.
How long were you training, John, before kids in school realized, oh, this guy can really fight now, or we're not going to be able to fuck with him anymore? How long did that take from when you started?
It was weird because it's a Teixeira thing. Like Glover Teixeira was like one of my top fighters. The guy in school was Daryl Teixeira, and he was picking on me, and we got to this big fight. I was probably 12 years old, maybe 13, and the whole school was there. Kill the howley, you know? And I ended up beating him up because I've been training at this really tough martial arts gym, Patrick Kempo, with Walter Godin, who spent a lot of time in prison, but he was a very good, tough instructor. And so I beat up Daryl Teixeira, and now nothing was the same ever again. That followed me through high school, you know, because Daryl Teixeira was a big, tough guy, you know, probably one of the biggest, toughest guys in school. And for the skinny Howley kid to beat him up, you know, everybody's like, oh, shit, I'm not going to try to take his lunch money. So that changed my life in such a way that I want everybody to feel that, whether you're an adult and your wife is picking on you and bullying you, you know, or you're a kid and they're bullying you in the schoolyard. I don't want anyone to ever feel bullied again. And so that's why I started, and that's why I got passionate about it. And then I love fighters just because I was a fighter, you know, and you know, most of my you know, people know my name mainly out there because of, you know, fighters like Chuck and Glover and Cord and stuff. But my real passion is in the community level, teaching everybody how to keep their lunch money, right? whether you're an adult or a kid. Yeah. And there's not too old. I mean, I love my OG students, man. A lot of my parents or even grandparents of the kids that are training, you know, they'll start training because they realize, hey, I could train at my age. I go, hell yeah. And the next thing I know, I said, try a week, you know? And next thing you know, they're going for their black belt at 60 some years old. And I love that.
I'm 54. I want to start. I keep saying it. I started before the pandemic, and then that kind of fucked everything up. But I should go back.
Pandemic's over.
Yep, I know.
It's time. You'll never feel better.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What did you think of, because I know you've talked about throwing in the towel. I liked that Brunson's, because I love Derek Brunson, so I liked that his guys saw that he really was getting hurt. And do you think it was that last shot that Duplessis threw, or was it just by that point it was over anyway?
First of all, I love it too. And I, you know, people tell me, I had somebody post something today, oh, you the MMA, you're not allowed to throw in the towel. UFC, you're not allowed to throw in the towel. I've thrown in the towel in the UFC, in the WEC, in the Pride. I've thrown in the towel when I felt my fighter needed it. And I've never been sanctioned. I've never been fined or in trouble. But they do discourage it. They want you to get the attention of one of the commissioners. Then they get the attention of the referee. So by then, your fighter is dead. So you don't want to do that. So throwing in the towel, it shouldn't be discouraged. And I think he was both hurt with that last shot, really looked bad. And then right before that, he looked exhausted.
Yeah.
And I think, but the combination exhaustion is such a terrible way to go, you know? So I love the fact that they threw in the towel. I really do.
Yeah.
More guys should do it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I really am. And we touched base a little bit on it, but a new champion, Alexa Grasso. I mean, amazing. I'll tell you, in a very competitive fight, and I was kind of surprised when Joe Rogan was asking Valentina, well, what do you want to do next? Do you want to fight some of the top, like, contenders, or do you want an immediate rematch? I think that's a no-brainer. Of course she is deserving of an immediate rematch. I'm not shitting on Joe. I mean, maybe somebody said it in his earpiece. But I'm just saying, you know, obviously that's an immediate rematch, don't you think, guys? I mean,
I would think.
I also think that he just, sometimes you want to hear the, it's better if you can get the fighter to say, I want a rematch. And sometimes you ask a question, you know, the answer to anyway, and he might've said, do you think, do you want to fight these? No, I want the rematch. And now Valentina said she wants the rematch. So maybe that was just the reason for it too.
It was a one spinning, back kick, you know, that cost the whole fight. She's like playing that so much in her mind right now, that one spinning back kick, which is such a great technique when it lands. But you should always throw it with your right leg, not with your left leg. She was throwing a left leg one, which doesn't cause as much damage because the one thrown with the right goes right to the liver. Yeah. And that's why it's so dangerous. And that's why people drop from that like crazy. When you throw it with your left leg, it lands on the spleen side, which doesn't hurt quite as much. And it doesn't cause as much paralysis. As you know, when you get hit in the liver, that's what happens, right? And you have a little, I mean, imagine getting hit with a spinning back fist.
Imagine that, John. You remember that one.
You were the giver, weren't you, in that one?
Listen, you know what's great about that one is, and you remember back then, I had the honor of, you know, being the first person in the UFC to get stopped with a spinning, probably with a spinning anything. Because back then it was like, oh, you never turn your back. Probably for reasons what happened to Valentina. People probably just had that old mythos in their brain. But, you know, back then, it's so funny. Like I had, talk about a strategy of showing your hand. I just had a straight line at somebody. I truly, John, did not have the hours clocked in with the stand-up department. I was really doing a lot of learning on the job. I was very raw. And you, as a gentleman who's a striking expert, if you ever watched like my fight with Shoney, and then you watch, I mean, I'm not saying which fight you can go to, maybe Frank Trigg, but or else George St. Pierre, the first one, then you'll see how much a difference like 10 years makes, that was like 5 years of just doing straight up sparring. So it's all about being predictable. Like, you know what I mean? Shoney, even in our other fight, he knew I would just want to get a hold of him. So he would just leave the leg out there. I'd grab it. He'd let it go and hit me. It was horrible. Now me looking at it, it's like my fight IQ obviously has gotten raised. I'm like, how am I falling for this?
But anyway, the spinning hammer, right away, was it? Spinning hammer blow or spinning back fist?
It was a spinning back fist, but it that reminds me. I wish we were in studio so I'd have you give me a left hook and a hit in the balls after bringing up that spinning back fist. just getting accurate.
Wow.
By the way, your left hook, you always scares me. I mean, because I'm a righty, so my left hand would be out. It always just seems like I wouldn't be able to get momentum on a left hook. It just doesn't feel like I would throw an effective left hook. At this point, I wouldn't.
Well, if you're a southpaw, you'd be a... You're right. When I say left hook, the word left is synonymous with lead for me.
Right.
So whatever is leading is your left. You know what I mean? But I think that what takes the time is you just have to practice starting your hip movement from right here, because everybody wants to pull it back and get that extra inch or two, right? Yeah. But while you're trying to get that extra inch or two, you're completely opening yourself up for a counter. It's like, that's what telegraphing. I mean, that's the word telegraph. How many times have you heard that? Don't telegraph. This is telegraphing, right? Just like with the right hand, this is telegraphing. With a left hook, and you want to do that because most people throw with and do things with power from their rear side, right? You don't throw a ball from here. You throw it with your backside. So it is a lot. It takes a lot more work with the left hook because you just have to drill it over and over. Hold the paddle there, let somebody hold it, and don't, when you can throw 3 out of 5 left hooks and they can't drop the paddle because they don't see you pulling back, that's when you know that you're making progress on the left hook. And you always, always visualize the chin. Never the cheek, not the temple. Always visualize in your head when you're throwing the left hook, thinking of it, think of it landing on the chin, because it will that much more. Did you turn around when you did the spinning technique? Did you turn your head first?
Who, me?
Yeah.
When I got hit with it?
No, when you hit. When you hit.
When I, oh, I didn't use, I got hit with it. When I hit with it, I used it with, when I used my, I actually used it to win the Ultimate Fighter. That's how ironic it is. Because I hit Chris Lytle with one. I would always do it with, I would do like a lead side kick and then let it fall and go into it. Like, and then a lot of times it's not knocking the guy out, but it would fucking, like with Chris, it hit his head. He got pissed about it, came at me, and I took him down. Other times when somebody's coming after me, I would make like I'm going away and yeah. then cut the angle, let him go into it. That's how I never used that in a fight, but I dropped some guys in sparring with that.
Okay.
Like they'd follow me.
You got hit with one?
Oh, me? I got hit with several.
No, you got hit with one in a big fight?
John Hackelman, how's your memory? Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, Matt thought you were teasing him.
Why would I do that? I love this guy. I'm talking about spin techniques.
He's fucking with me. I think John Hackman's literally fucking with me. You know Shoni Carter?
I know Shoni Carter. I've worked with him.
Wait, are you?
I worked his corner.
Wait, hold on. You realize I got knocked out by Shoni Carter with a spinning back?
I was talking about. I wasn't talking about that fight.
Oh, I thought this whole time you're breaking my balls. Are we all on the same page?
Yeah, we are now.
I am a ball breaker. Jimmy, is he effing with me or does John Hackelman know?
I couldn't tell at first, but no, I think that he wasn't saying it for that reason. I think he was actually asking you because you referenced it. He was saying,
To be honest, if I knew that you got dropped with it.
Yeah, it was the first one in the UFC, right? The first knockout that we met? Yeah,
we just went over this.
I didn't know that. I would never say that because me, I wouldn't want someone to say that to me. I would never in a million years say that because I feel that would be disrespectful.
I mean, you're such a gentleman. I'm used to people are not gentlemen, like my good friend Ray Longo. So I'm sorry. Let me tell you, not only did I get knocked out with it was at UFC 31, the same. I don't know if you're gonna remember the victory I'm gonna talk about. Because you've been in so many corners when Chuck Liddell knocked people out. But people were worried about Chuck when he was going about to fight this gentleman. But he knocked him out in the opening seconds. It was on the same card where I did this.
Oh, yeah?
Kevin Randleman.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not a huge sport fan. I don't really watch most of the fights. I don't watch that many fights.
I think you watched that one up close.
Yeah. But I'm usually in the corner, then I'm out, then I'm back.
I'm the same way. I don't watch. Do you watch any sports at all, or do you?
No, I've never watched a football game in my life. I've never watched a basketball game, and I've never watched a baseball, football, or what's the third one?
Basketball.
Basketball. I've never watched basketball or soccer. Yeah.
Listen, I
can't stand it.
I can relate. I can relate to you, and I told Jimmy this. Jimmy knows this about me.
It's true.
Don't invite me to a Super Bowl party. I don't give. I don't know who's in it.
I don't.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't like, I'm the type of guy, because I'm a positive guy. I don't like to like cramp on anybody's enthusiasm. So when people get excited about a ball game, a baseball or football, I even ask them like, what makes it? Like, I know, listen, when there's a UFC on, it's the only thing I watch. I love watching the fights because it excites. Like this last weekend, like, oh, I can't wait. I get excited. But because it's combat, it's martial arts, and it's something I've always been into. But I just don't understand as much. And then when they try to explain, like, oh, they get this much closer to the I don't know. I still don't know why they like it. To be honest, I don't know. People just grew up on it. I think it's about what they grew up with.
It's fun to watch, but once UFC kind of wrecked other sports for me. Like, and plus the fighters I've interviewed. I've interviewed so many fighters in the last 15 years or 12 years. They're all nice. Like, I like the humility of fighters even more than I like boxers. Definitely more than I like guys in the NBA, NFL, MLB. The fighters were the guys I thought were the nicest to the fans. They were the most humble. They were the nicest to talk to. And then you see what they do, and it's just kind of hard not to enjoy watching it. So nothing else can kind of compete with fighting as far as nothing. What I like to watch.
Nothing. Because most fighters are true martial artists. Not all. There's a couple that are kind of just, you know, it leaves a bad taste if you sure. watch them. They just don't have that. But I'd say 99% of MMA fighters, especially fighters that make it up to the level of the UFC, are truly, truly martial artists in and out. And they have nothing but class, and we call it Bushido, you know, way of the warrior. And it's unbelievable to be around MMA fighters, you know, UFC fighters or martial artists. There's the true martial artists. A lot of martial artists, they practice a couple moves in the mirror a couple times, and then they get their black belt and they think they're a martial artist. But when I talk about a martial artist, I'm talking about a guy that has the respect and treats people with respect, but can kick their butt too. You know what I mean? That's the martial artist.
And what did you think, too? There's another great fight that we should not overlook, which was Jeff Neal against Rakhmonov. You know, I love Jeff Neal, and, you know, he lost that fight, but it was fight of the night. It was an incredible fight. What did you think of that? And what do you think about Rakhmonov versus Wonderboy, which is what they're talking about next, possibly?
Huh. I think that's a... Wow. That's an interesting... I think that could be really interesting. I think his wrestling would just dominate, you know, yeah. in that one. But his stand-up was... You know, a little of everything, but, you know, I was definitely pulling for, how do you say his name with a G?
Rakhmonov. I say Rakhmonov. Shavkat Rakhmonov.
Yeah. No, I'm talking. I'm talking about his opponent.
Jeff Neal. Sorry.
Yeah. That's
Jeff. Yeah. Why would I say that when you said G? It's Jeff Neal. Yeah.
Yeah. But he brought it. He made it a lot closer than to be honest, you know, than I thought it would be, just because of all the hype, you know. I thought, and I know Jeff Neal's good, but I don't know. I thought it was going to be a different level good, but I think I saw a different level good of Jeff and two levels more of Rakhmonovich.
And not to mention when you talk about. You know, a fight with him versus Wonderboy. Wonderboy, as of lately, been having some trouble with the guys who were forcing the grappling on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
More so than in the past. Maybe that's the so. But he just came off a brilliant fight with Kevin Holland.
Yeah.
But even in that fight, Kevin Holland almost agreed just to stand up with him. There was times when he got on top of Wonderboy, he just got off. So yeah. and that was almost by accident. He got on top. He's like, "All right, let's get back up." And I'll take that foot to the face. No, but
it's weird that you did that too, because he helped force it into a stand-up fight where it seemed like forcing it, at least trying to force it down more, would have behooved Holland. You know, yeah. But it seemed like he was willing to. And I love Kevin Holland. I just love his. I love his energy. He gets a bit much at times. But I love his energy, and I love his personality. I just like watching him fight, and watching him fight was, you know, Wonderboy was just, it was like they were both trying to fight the same game plan, but Wonderboy is kind of a, you know, a step above that. He was a step above it level wise. I couldn't understand why Holland, who's been working a lot more on his grappling, didn't try to force that at all.
Yeah, that wasn't it like they said, and we should bring Nazim Sadikov in. He's in the waiting room. Wasn't it more like he just wanted to fight him? Was it a little bit of ego, do you think, or just like this is what I want? Almost like they said when Fedor would fight certain people, he would try to like beat them in their style. Do you think it was something like that, or it was just a blunder during the fight?
I don't think it was a blunder. I think it was ego.
Yeah,
I think it was.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that either. Yeah.
Nas, who's coming in the room now, is one of our fighters, John Ackerman. He's This guy's one of our fighters. He just had a great fight last week. I believe it was fight of the night, performance of the night, or
Evan Elder, yeah.
Versus Evan Elder. It was a doctor stoppage in the third round, and with a big cut, bad cut over Evan Elder's eye. But what a fight! And he's this kid's got obviously he's doing very well and. We want to get him some shine. Do I hear him? Is he here?
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Here he is, Nas!
Finally.
Come on, Nas!
What's
Come
up,
on, man? Nas.
Hello, sir.
What's up, guys? What's up?
Jimmy and the great John Hackelman. How are you, Nas?
I'm good. I'm feeling good, man.
Congratulations. Good. Are you back home now? Are you back here in New York?
I was. I came back to Vegas for some rehabbing of my hand that I got probably actually before the fight. I came into the fight actually with maybe a small bump on my hand. I didn't know what it was. Turns out it was a fracture, so...
Oh,
luckily we got through. Yeah, luckily we got through. So I'm in Vegas, about to get some stem cells this week.
Are you going to be there this weekend or no? I'm getting there Thursday. You'll be there from Rob's fight. Are you going home?
Yeah.
I see you.
I'm not missing a machine. I'm not missing a machine card. I'm not missing a Marab card.
We're going to talk about that later. I'm so excited for Marab.
Yeah.
But I'm also excited for you, dude, because what a debut. I mean, it feels like yesterday that you walked into both mine and Longo's school, but, it's been a while, man. Tell us about the journey. Like, really, for people that don't know you, Nas, where are you coming from and what discipline did you start with?
So I'm originally from Azerbaijan. I moved to the States at 7 years old, or 6 years old, sorry. So I've been training my entire life. My father put me into karate when I was about 3-4 years old. So I'm a lifelong martial artist. I've just done various styles. Combat sambo. I've competed in amateur combat sambo tournaments, hand-to-hand combat, judo, all that stuff. Went on to win nationals in kickboxing for WKA two-time national kickboxing champion. And then I made the transition to MMA, was dabbling in different gyms until I decided to come to Cerro Longo. You guys opened the doors for me and my game elevated, and ever since I've been on an 8-fight tear with you guys. So 7 finishes to be exact. So we're on a good run.
That it was such a great fight. And were you hurt? He did, you knocked you down in the first and then landed a right after and a hard kick. But you didn't seem like you were too affected by it. You seemed like, I mean, you went down, but you got right back up and you seemed like you were okay.
Yeah, he caught me. That was a good shot, but I can't say I wasn't hurt by it, but it did stun me. It put me on my butt, but I got right back up, and I'm here for all the fire. You know, I'm here for these kind of fights. You know, obviously you want smart approaches, you want to be tactical, but if the going gets dirty, I'm here for it. You know, so I got up, I waved him on, and I came forward, which is the interesting part to me, because he did win the first round because of that knockdown on the judges' scorecards, but Longo and I rewatched this fight maybe 3 times together, and even when he put me on my butt, I got right up and I walked forward and I started landing the following shots right after that, which is the interesting part to me. But yeah, man, I'm here for these kind of fights. I'm glad I was able to display this kind of fight in my debut.
Yeah, and hey, John Hackelman, this is your type of fight. If you get to watch this fight, it's wild. Let me ask you all about this, because that's a good point that you brought up, Nas. For instance, in that first round, and this happens a lot. What do you think, guys, of a round where a guy's winning the whole round, he gets dropped? It could be a quick knockdown, but he gets dropped, but he gets back up. The round ends. The other guy won 4 minutes and 55 seconds of the round. The other guy got a shot, and is it now a 10-8 because he got dropped? Or the other guy who won most of the round but didn't get the knockdown? Like, how do you score a round like that?
This is, this brings me back.
To you, that's what happened to you. You won that whole round, except for that. Maybe some say flash knockdown. Some say, you know, got back down and up. It's not. It's one thing if you get dropped and you're on the verge of death, where you're like, lucky that bell rang. But it's another thing if it's one of those, boom, you're down, you're up. What, now he gets the round after all the work I put in?
Yeah,
What do you think about this, that?
This brings me back to Peter Yan and Aljo 1, where the entire fight up until... So the first round, I remember it pretty clearly. Aljo 1 the whole round. The whole round. But then I'm arguing with a bunch of people. I think it was like at the barbershop or something. Like I was getting a haircut. And I'm arguing with a bunch of people like the following like a few days. I'm arguing with them. They're like, yeah, Peter Yan knocked down Aljo. He won the round. I'm like, no, he didn't. I mean, he put Aljo on his butt, but Aljo got up and came forward. It's not one of those knockdowns where it's a fight-ending knockdown where the guy's in trouble. That I can understand. You can steal around with that where you put a guy down and you're trying to finish him and the guy's visibly hurt. If the guy gets put on his butt with a good shot and pops right back up and comes forward, I don't think that the round should be scored the other way just because the guy got put on his butt. If it's one of those knockdowns where the guy's like damn near finished, I would understand that. But if it's a that's just equivalent to a good punch. Like my head snaps back, but I stay on my feet. That's how I see those kind of shots. So I'm not really here to like argue with the judges and tell them what to look at. And hey, look at me, look at what I did. But I came forward the whole fight. I rewatched it 5 times now. I came forward the entire fight. That one time that I got put on my butt, and granted, he landed other great shots as well. He landed a bunch of kicks, so he did a lot of things, other things well. But I just don't see that knockdown as a knockdown, because if that's the case, then rewind the tape just a minute before. I also dropped him to his knee. He took a knee when I landed a right hook around his ear. He took a knee, and then I wobbled him with a head kick. And his legs buckled, but I guess they didn't see it because it wasn't one of those things where the fight is almost over. I just buckled him. It's MMA. Well, we're going to catch each other with good shots. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, good thing you didn't let it go to the judges anyway, you know?
Jimmy,
I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask John's opinion on that.
That's what I was going to do. I was going to say, what do you say, John? I was just going to ask the same thing.
We're right here, me and you, Jimmy. John, what is your thoughts on that? John, look at that. That's a good
time. This is MMA. It's not boxing. And it reminds me of that. Judges are getting better, but the same was true for takedowns. Like you could see a guy winning the whole round standing, beating the guy. Then the guy takes him down, tries to seal the deal towards the end of the round. Right. And then, so a lot of judges will give the take. And the rule is supposed to be, as a judge, for boxing, is, and I think they use the same, almost the same, if the knockdown is caused by the punch. Like, I mean, if it doesn't, like, it's not a slip, it's not a trip, it's from the force of the punch puts them on their butt, then it's a 10-8 round. In boxing, this isn't boxing, because the difference in boxing is once you hit the ground, you got 10 seconds to recover. They give you an 8 count, and that by the time you stand up, it's usually a 12 count. So you have some time to. When MMA, boom, you hit the ground, they're coming right on you. So you don't have that knockdown. The knockdown is a whole different animal in MMA. In boxing, you get a 10-8 round, but you also get 10 seconds to rest. You know what I mean? In MMA, you don't get that. So I don't think it should be I think, you know, it depends on, like, you know, he was saying, it depends what the, how bad the knockdown is. And this one, you know, was back and right up.
And there's no,
shouldn't be automatic. It shouldn't,
just I don't think it should automatic. Be automatic. Just like a takedown shouldn't be automatic. You know?
Is it to the certain judges? I guess you're dealing with different judges' personalities and different things that they put emphasis on, and different things that they would give you more for. And there are some judges that might put more value on takedowns and octagon control, and other guys may look at that and go, no, that to me wins the round. I think
That's the way it's always been. That's why in boxing, some of the judges, like the guy that boxes more, he's a boxer, you're moving, like Muhammad Ali. Some judges like more of slugging, so they're going to judge, you know, in favor of that usually. So the you have three judges, they're always going to be different. I mean, look at three guys. Three normal guys are going to disagree on everything. So, of course, they're going to disagree. So judging is very subjective, and it's going to be. There's no way around it. It's you know, no matter what people say, damn, judges, we got to change the judging. You can't. It's three different people watching it with their own subjective lens. So it's always going to be three different ideas and three different people. How many times have you been with your buddy and then you watch a fight? You know, you're watching a fight on TV. You thought one guy won the other guy. And you're like, how does he think that? Because he's a different person. So judging will always be subjective, just like it is in figure skating or anything else that's like that.
You just want to make sure that, that they're competent. Because I can hang out with some.
A lot of times they're not.
I can hang out with some morons. So I don't care what they say. But I'm thinking with that, though, John Ackerman. But I was going to say, Jimmy, in Nas's fight, which, again, fight of the night, entertaining as heck. Longo, who could be a critic, loved the fight. And he gave your opponent some praise, and he didn't want to discredit him. But with him talking to me, he said that he's excited for what's next for you. I don't know if he told this to you, but I'll tell you now. Because he said you didn't even have to get hit in that fight. Like, that's how good you are. This is him telling me. He goes, look. He goes, the fight was entertaining. He's like, I'm not downplaying. The other kid was this and that. The other kid was good. But Nas didn't even have to get hit with those strikes. And so I don't know. So that's exciting. That's exciting for me. Because we know what you could do. And now that you got that first fight out of your way in there, that big fight, got your win. You know, is there any matchups you see that just kind of get your attention saying this will be a fight of the night type of thing?
First of all, this is all with them not even seeing the Sarah BJJ yet. They didn't even see the Sarah BJJ yet. And that's
our sleeve. Weapon.
Yeah, that's a whole weapon on its own. That's a whole nother ball game. But they're already throwing dates at me in like summer. So I expect myself to be back in the summer, just as long as everything, we're just waiting on the recovery with this hand. You know, this doesn't seem like a horrible injury or anything like that. Just we want to wait and see before we put anything on paper. Do I have a name? Not specifically, but I just want exciting matchups. And I want to just show what I'm capable of. And you guys are right when you say that I could have done better or I could have not gotten hit with certain shots. But, you know, that only speaks of the standard that's set for me, and it's pretty high, and I'm here for it. I'm very happy that the standard is set high for me. They put us on featured prelim. That, you know, it's not every debut that you get put on a featured prelim. You have fight of the night, all these things. So I'm just happy that the standard is set high, and I'm ready to step up every time. That's all I can say. That's all I can promise to the audience, to the fans, is that every time you see me step in the cage, it's just going to be a hungry wolf coming forward.
What was your mentality going into it, and how did it feel knowing this was your debut? And like, was it what you thought it would be? And how did you feel after? Besides, obviously, you're happy you won. Was it a sense of relief that the first time is done, or what was that like?
I it's so much thoughts at once. I can't even pinpoint it on anything, to be honest with you. I like you asked me this question. I completely understand, but I really just don't know what to say to you. Like, I didn't have like some sort of like, this is the UFC. Oh my God, I have to perform. I have to do this. I know that I'm coming in to fight regardless. I just would like to have showed certain things better. So I'm my own biggest critic before, even Longo, before anybody said anything to me. I was already, and you could even see my body language and my speech in the interview. I was not low on myself. I just wanted to look better. But hey, listen, it's the UFC. You're going to get tough opponents. Yeah. Credit, props to my opponent. He was a gentleman, and he was a great fighter too. I believe he has a great future in the UFC as well. So, all in all, I just felt I'm happy to walk away with a finish. You know, I'm happy to walk away with the TKO victory. It just doesn't get better than that. You know, I never want to let it go to the hands of the judges. Maybe it will in the future, but I'm a finisher, and I'm going to look to do that every time.
Right.
I'm excited for what's next. That's all I can say. I'm excited for what's next, guys.
Great. Hey, well, I have Nas in here, a couple of our teammates, and maybe you could throw some more in there. Dennis Bazooka just won his fight. And he you know, he's fought before on the Contender Series. James Gonzalez just fought his fight, and he won his fight by stoppage. So we had a nice couple of weeks, Nas. I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot of people, but that's a couple right there.
I just talked to Dennis yesterday. He's coming down to Vegas as well. Sarah Longo is to Vegas. Another Vegas trip for the team. Yeah, we're going to be here together this week.
We'll all do a road trip to the pit. We're not going to dojo storm. John Hackleman, put that left hook down. That is so great.
It would be an honor. It would be an honor.
Man, it's I love it. I love it, man. I would love it.
Yeah, it would be an honor. It would be an honor.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And Nazim, I want to ask you too, because I've heard two different pronunciations. So the only way to ask is you. Sadikov or Sadikov? How do you pronounce that?
I'm not going to give you the Azerbaijani pronunciation. It's going to take it's Sadikov. But to make it easier, it's Sadikov.
Sadikov. Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, Sadikov is right.
Okay. What would the pronunciation be? What would the proper?
So because of the KH, it makes a H sound. So it's Sadikov. Sadikov. That's the But Sadikov is fine.
Great.
And where are you from again? Say it one more time.
Baku, Azerbaijan. Baku is the capital. It's a city in Azerbaijan.
Where is Azerbaijan? What's it bordering?
It borders with Georgia, Dagestan. It's in the Caucasus. It's the Caucasus region. It's South Caucasus. It is former Soviet Union. We do speak Russian. I'm fluent in Russian as well. So it's right below Georgia, right on the southeast of Georgia.
How excited are you for Merab for this weekend? Merab fighting the main event versus Peter Yan. We're gonna I'm getting it Thursday. The whole team's gonna be there, and it's a big thing, this fight coming up with Merab, because it's almost bigger because just the history with Georgia and Russia. It's a lot on him. I know. Hey, listen. I mean, even Merab was like, this one's like, he's got a whole country behind him with this one. It's a bigger thing. It feels like, you know. So it's a wild one. It's a wild matchup in general, you know. But he's gonna have a team with him. I'm super excited.
Yeah, you guys see this as well. Like, I didn't think a lot of people would catch on, but this is Merab is wearing a lot of weight, given the history behind this. So, but I'm sure he's gonna come through for his people, and he has such a big heart. Like, I don't picture him in any situation that he wouldn't get out of. You know, he has a tough task in front of him. We know who Peter Yan is, but I think if anybody has a big enough heart, big enough skill, big enough will to do it, it's Merab. So he gets the job done Saturday.
And I think Yan is coming off two losses, if I'm not incorrect. Does anybody know if that's true? He's coming off two straight losses.
I always think. O'Malley.
Yeah.
O'Malley.
But he still looked good in those fights. Like, we're still getting a prime Yan. This is still prime prime Merab versus prime Yan. We're not getting like a downhill Peter Yan or anything. You know, in my opinion, with the O'Malley fight in particular, I did not see that as a loss. I felt like he had a great display. I thought it was a win, but they gave it. O'Malley got the nod. So, we're still getting two guys in their prime. This is a very tough matchup for both.
I like when he loses. He's been a little bit of a crybaby.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's been a little bit of the UFC. They don't like me, and it's like, hey, dude, come on. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. So I like that, because then
how many guys got? Seems like you're prolific. You guys got a prolific gym there. How big are you guys? Like, square footage, say.
Oh, we got – so you see, Longo's – we got Law MMA, and then we got My School, which is Sarah BJJ, together with Sarah Longo. So if you go to My School, it's basically a jiu-jitsu, big jiu-jitsu school. My thing's like 12,000 square feet. I got my showers and locker rooms upstairs. But there's some rules there. You don't take your shirts off. You know, I got families there. I'm like you, John Ackerman. I work on my savages, like Young Nas, but I also got families training there. But if you walk into Longo's, did you ever see Rocky III when Paulie and them went to Apollo's?
Yeah.
You walk in, if I ever visit my family, my daughters, I don't look to the left. You walk in, there's a guy in his towel and fucking, it's just Longo's holding pants with his with his street shoes on. Fucking, it is it's a breeding ground for savages. Niles will tell you, but it's a nice combination of so.
We got. I mean, so like at our gym, it's just one. You do everything right there. We have rowing and wrestling. I call it R&R, and they have to. They row like they row for 30 seconds as hard as they can. Then they start on the bottom and, and then we do a lot of sparring and bag and go back and forth between like getting real tired. So do you guys switch? I mean, because we do the whole workout right there. You guys have two separate gyms?
No. Well, yeah, listen, myself and Ray Longo, yes, we do have, we've always had two separate schools. My jiu-jitsu school, is my own thing. But together we have the fight team. Do have sport. Listen, it's not like they just do jiu-jitsu at my school. I have kickboxing there. I have wrestling classes there. But the thing is, when these guys, when Nas comes over and my elite UFC guys come over, it's almost like if they went to, I don't know, like a Tiger or somewhere to go work their Muay Thai at a Thailand, or they went to Gleason's gym to work their boxing. They come strictly for the submission aspect of we're working jiu-jitsu at my place. Like, you know what I mean? So they come down with all my guys that might never take a punch, but they're good at just taking limbs. Some of them that just look like Poindexters, but they'll be ripping your legs off or they'll be on your back. They're not going to spar with Nas, but they'll roll with him. And they're so good at the submission game of it that our guys, they get all their sparring and their hard work standing and whatnot at Longo's. These guys come down to my spot to make sure their submission game is on point.
Where do they do their MMA sparring? Where do they do their...
Oh, well, they do... Well, that goes along with our straight up sparring. We can do that at my place too, but normally they do the defeat the floor sparring similar to the fight at Longo's. So that's always how it's been. It's almost like it's not something that the fight thing, I'm teaching more average eds than I do with the fighters. The fight thing is just a pleasure for me. Like with me, Longo, and these guys, this is something me and Longo do out of passion. This is something that we just like, and I'm not a everybody's different. The guys that make a living on just being trainers, I don't. That's extra for me. So we don't, I don't give a shit. We'll say it open. We don't have contracts with these guys. We have nothing. We have just, handshakes. They want to throw something back. We cool. But that's why we have such, we don't go out enlisting. I didn't go to his home country looking for this young Nas and, you know what I mean? I didn't look.
Let me just say that's absolutely the truth. Not one day that I walk in and ever felt like this was like a business. I 100% felt like it was just two coaches that just or have been around this game for so many years and just love this. Like, I don't imagine Longo needs to sit there and like find people to. I came in there, so it was solely my own decision. Like, I've trained. I'm a lifelong martial artist. Like I said, I'm 28 now, so that means. I've been on the mat since I'm 24 years. I'm on the mat, you know, since I'm a child. So I've never met coaches that have this perfect blend and have to create this sort of environment for the fighters where you don't feel any pressure whatsoever. You just come in and you have fun. That's literally what it is. And we're always joking. We're always having a laugh too. So that's great. I never felt like it was like a business move on. Like I came there with, upon my own research. So yeah, I just wanted to say that.
I think our gym was a lot like your guys, more than it is like the bigger ones. Yes. You know, 97% of my students, you know, everything, 97% of my everything is my Hawaiian Kempo class. We started 3 years old, all the way up to, I have a 73-year-old. And then the fight team is my hobby. And that's 3% of what I do. Time-wise, money-wise, everything. But that's where you want to give to the, you know, the guys that want to do what we did, right? So I want them to be able to do that. But that's 3%. They come in at different times. They don't even cross paths. Yes, with our students much.
John Hockman, I'm telling you, we have this very similar lives. Same thing for me. Longo's more the other route. Like he'll work with some average heads. He does his privates. He does forever. And his privates is basically him doing it. Kick. Man, he's, get on the thing with the thing. Man, kick it. But anyway, no, fucking around. But Longo, Longo is like Mickey from Rocky. Longo, I was just talking to him. He was in AC over the weekend. I wanted him to go with me to go see you, Jimmy, but he couldn't do it. I got sick anyway, but he was away from AC. He goes, oh, he goes, for the next 6 weeks, I got to fight every week. I go, dude, the guy's 63 or 64. He's not stopping. Fucking great.
He loves it.
No, but it's what incredible. We do.
I'm done. I retired. I retired after Glover's fight. So I'm not gonna.
Really? Did you?
I'm just gonna do like the team. The team is, you know, I'll go work with the team when they come to the gym. But I have Antonio Banuelos. Remember him? He fought in the UFC. Yeah.
Yes.
Antonio Banuelos. He's the captain of the team and does most of the hands-on stuff. And I show up 3 days a week. But it's mainly him, you know. So, you know, we have a pretty big gym and he does that. Fun. But that's during the that's like 11 in the morning. Most of my stuff happens in the evening. That's where all the kids' classes and adult classes.
I space it out. I have a 7 a.m. I do that like 3 days a week, which is
jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. I do the 7
a.m. Who comes in for that?
Oh, I taught this morning. I had 30 guys on the mat.
Who is it though? Well, like what kind of people? Like what do they do?
That's doctors, that's firemen, cops, it's everything you think of. Yeah. Like you say, John, like you said, like you said, I like your were you like I like to teach people that they so they don't get the people don't, so they can't get their lunch money. So they're not taking their lunch money. Nobody's gonna take your lunch money. That's how I feel when I'm teaching. Like I put anybody in that predicament that happened to me at the Red Rock Casino when drunk got rowdy. I put any one of my students in that same position, these averages, regular people, average heads. And within 6 months, they're doing the same thing that I did. So that's what I like to do. That's my purpose. And then
you have kids too?
Sorry, me?
You do kids?
Yes. I have kids classes. I have three daughters. They're all training.
Wow.
Nazis. There's always a Sarah at my place. My wife, John, not the boy, but you know the story. My wife.
Oh, man. I saw Ann at the gym the other day smashing the mitts.
She does She never did any sports in high school. She would do kickboxing to lose weight between my three daughters. Right now, she's 3-0 as an amateur kickboxer. So
what?
Yeah, no shit, John. I'm telling you. Nazi. Yeah.
Yeah, she was young girl. She puts so in the work.
Yeah, it's a family affair.
She's actually stepping into a ring?
Oh, she fought. That's not.
Like real fighting?
No, real fighting. Oh, no, She's 39 now. She just fought a 23-year-old. She fought a. She's 3-0. Jimmy seen clips. Oh no, you like her. You like her left hook. She did good. She's actually teaches. Sometimes she teaches the kickboxing classes. I'm very proud of her. Don't get me emotional, John Ackerman.
That's also
going to lead to America Top Team. I start crying on you. You know what? You have a new member at the pit. It's Nas. All right, listen. Enough about me and my wife. Nas, I can't wait. But the people that also, listen, we like to ask this. I know about you. What do you like to do when you're not training, Nas? Let's not talk about your dating routine. Let's talk about what do you like to do when you're not training and no active rest by going for hikes? Give me a hobby.
Why is the dating thing off limits?
Well, I don't know if he's got a girlfriend. I don't want to blow up his spots. I don't know.
No, I mean, being a Brooklyn boy, just a lot of restaurants, eating, all this stuff. Yes. If like when I visited Azerbaijan, I loved horse riding. I love horseback riding. Other than that, it's literally just hanging out with family. It's nothing special, to be honest with you. I don't have like some sort of like a specific thing I always go to. It's just always movies, hanging out with friends, going to a Russian bathhouse or something like that. You know, like in the winter, I go to Russian bathhouses a lot. It's like a Sunday thing for me, you know.
I got to do one of those things. But I feel weird asking guys, like, hey, when are we going to a bathhouse? Is this, you know what I mean?
Be my guest. Be my guest, like, man. You know what's funny? There's this spot in Manhattan called Spy 88. Because if you go in Brooklyn, it's usually like Russian people. It's usually people that understand the bathhouse culture, so to speak, right? But this place in the city that I'm talking about, it's like half Russian and half like Americans, right? And you'll see like these, they have these leaves, right? And you pretty much beat somebody up with leaves. Like you're massaging their back. It's called a leaf massage, right? You're massaging their back. And like the Americans will come into the steam room to the sauna. Yeah, they'll come into the sauna, and they'll sit down. And there's this one situation in particular I'm thinking of. There's this guy. He looks over at me, and then he looks over at this old Russian guy beating this other guy up with leaves. And he's like, "What the fuck are they doing?"
Yeah.
And he's like confused. He doesn't know what's going on, but. Yeah, that's like that's just one of the hobbies that I like to do. It's just like maybe a Russian Turkish bathhouse, movies, just some relaxing stuff. Because training or not, like training camp or not, I'm always in the gym. So my weekends, I just look to just chill out, relax. You know, nothing special.
Yeah,
those Russian bathhouses, it's a lot of the hot and the cold, like people are doing now with the everybody yeah. going into the ice baths.
Yeah, you know? They have the plunges there too. Most of them have the ice plunges as well.
You like those ice plunge? What do you think of those, John Ackerman? You like an ice plunge?
No.
I don't even like when I go in the shower and I got to wait for that shit to get warm. I don't like that.
I'll turn like my version. I'll turn like the hot because this way I feel like I'm doing it. Because you watch Glover, he's doing it like every day in the he does 10 minutes in the freezing ice bath.
Wow.
So I turn down the heat for the shower before I get out just a little bit. And then I feel like I did my part.
And then you get like, ooh, you feel good.
Yeah, I go, wow, that was, honey, I took like an ice shower. And it was like, I only turned it down a little bit. It was still steaming, actually. That's my version. I'll never do that.
Yeah, I'm not. That's not, I, no. People are like, oh, yeah, no, it is. It's good for you. You feel good afterwards. I go, you feel good afterwards, but during it, it's like fucking hell. I don't
know. It sucks.
How great is it really going to like, are you going to extend your life for that much period of time to feel like shit?
Yeah.
They said you have endorphins. It's a big endorphin dump. They said for the rest of the day, you feel so good. Sucks. Like supposedly it does do something. Yeah, that is true.
I don't, you definitely won't wear it. You won't feel it like that. Like if it does, we just trust that whatever we read on the internet, that it helps. But to say like, when I get out of the ice thing and whenever I unfreeze, I feel like a new man. I can't, say that. I'll still like feel sore. I'll still maybe it helps, but you just, it's something that I guess you have to trust the signs that they say on the internet behind it, you know, like all this endorphin talk. I don't really know, because like I wouldn't say that like as soon as I hop out of the ice plunge, that's it, like I feel recovered. It's not really like that. Maybe you'll get out of the ice plunge, you know, spend your day that day and then go to sleep and then feel better. But I can't say that, like, every time I do the ice plunge, like, that's it. I feel like a brand new man.
I don't need that shit to feel like a man. I'll tell you right now, I'll do some jujitsu, some sit-ups. I'll throw in a push-up.
Exactly.
And a push-up or two. Throw in a left hook from John Ackerman. That's it, man. When I get done with rolling, my juice, my endorphins are going, man.
Damn. Isn't it great to be a martial artist, us guys? We know that. What's a better fit? How can you not be a martial artist? You know what I mean? How can you not be a martial artist? It's like, I look at every day, I look in the mirror. It's made every aspect of my life 1,000 times better. Every. And I'm 63. So I've had a lot of aspects.
You and Longo, you guys you have had the fountain of youth. They both look great. You guys don't age. Longo looks better now than he did when he was with me on the Tough Show. He was a little heavier then. He was eating a little bit of the meatballs.
He was. He's your typical. Forget about it. He's your typical guy that us California guys look at, and we think in New York or New Jersey or whatever you got over there on that side. There's some different little states, and you all walk around going, "Forget about it. Forget about it."
John Ackerman, you, Ray Longo, maybe a 2-bedroom apartment. I smell reality show. I smell reality show. You and him, one guy from Hawaii, the other guy from fucking Long Island. I don't know. Listen,
Matt, we're still waiting for a reality show with you and Longo.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine?
Shit and shittier, it'll be called.
Because when you guys when you're in the corner, it's not really a corner anymore. It's a octagon. When you're there,
yes.
in the guy's side, you know? It's always everybody always, you know, because I'll be at different places watching different fights or know different guys. And you and Longo, it's like, and the announcers always, you know, buff that up. They love when you guys are in a corner. I don't ever hear him talk about the corner as much as I do, and it's you and Longo. It's like
and a lot
Sarah
of times
Longo, Sarah Longo, Sarah. They talk about you guys more than the fight usually.
And how good a lot of times the instruction from the corner is. Like they mention it, but they always talk about what great, accurate instructions they were given. It's always a nice compliment about how solid the cornering is.
John Adlin, isn't it really, at the end of the day, as simple as we got our guy, you got your guy, we're meeting at the flag pole? Isn't it really? Let's not overthink this thing. Isn't it? I mean, we have our strategies, but we have our guy. We're with him. You're with him. We're meeting there. We're going to do what we got to do to take you out. Don't overanalyze it. Not you. I'm saying in general. People, I don't know. That's how me and Longo think about it. We never thought about it other than that. We never thought about what we're saying the people are going to hear and try to translate it or I don't know. It's as simple as that. We got Nas. This weekend, we got Marab. All right, we got our guy. You got your guy. We're meeting in that cage. We're doing everything we can do to take you the fuck out. Let's go. I don't know. I'm getting
it. People don't see that with you guys. You guys are larger than that, man. I mean, you can tell it by the way the announcers, even when they're bringing up stuff, you guys have your own personality, like the fighter. You know, you guys get that. And then the other guy's corner, like if I'm in a corner or if, you know, somebody from ATT or AKA, you know, it's you, unless it's, you know, one of their guys, like, you know, one of their famous fighters, they usually just the corner. But when it's you guys, it's, you know, Sarah Longo, you guys get talked about a lot more. I don't know if I like that or not. I mean, back in the day, maybe I was a little jealous, but how does that feel though? And there must be, as you know, there must be a crazy kind of chemistry between you guys training a guy. I mean, I can imagine seeing you guys in the corner. I can imagine you guys back at the gym, you know, yelling. Do you guys like double team them, like yell at them both ways? Take it down. Keep it standing. Take it down. How's that?
No, we don't talk. We definitely don't talk over each other. Just like over there, we know a lot of the stuff standing before I yell at anything. I'm mimicking what Longo's saying. I'm not stepping on his. The biggest thing about corner work, I feel, John, and I mean, I'm sure you would agree, I'm not jumping in that corner with fucking just anybody. I've done that before. And this guy, and even if this people I like, I want to, they make me want to put my head through the fucking cage. I'm like, dude, just, what are you even fucking saying? Like, just shut the fuck up. Like, this, you're not doing it for him. You're doing it for you. I don't know what the fuck you're saying. Like, Longo, I know what me and Longo, like, me, Longo, Raging Al. Me, Longo, Aljo. Like, you are people. Like, sometimes there's people that are there, and I think they're just more concerned with getting some kind of Braveheart speech out and knowing where the camera is than just trying to communicate with your guy. Like, dude, you know what I mean? Like, you got a minute. You got a minute in between those rounds. Like, and let's get to it. Let's say exactly, and don't sugarcoat that shit. All right? Yo, we lost that round. That round's done. Go, Longo. What do you got? I got this. Yeah. Sometimes during the round, I'll say something to Longo, like, we got to make this up for that, you know. So I don't know. Me and Longo do have a great chemistry, but he was my coach, Longo. So he is the head corner. Not just because he's old as shit. Not you, John. I'm talking about only because you're city age.
We're the same age.
I know.
You say he's old as shit. I'm old as shit.
I caught myself.
My wife does that every night in bed.
I'm getting you back with a back fist that you said by accident. I'm like, I like to attack Longo, but you look great. You look great.
Now, Nas, before we have to wrap this up, I want to ask you, when will you know about your finger? And are you going to get looked at the hand? What is next for you once you get that taken care of?
I'm definitely eyeing the summer. Actually already came to me with a name and a date. I don't want to put it out there just because I don't have anything on paper and subject to change. You know, maybe they're going to book that guy or whatever. Point is, they're already looking to book me for early summer, like June, July, the latest. So that's when I'll be back. I'm pretty sure of that. And this hand injury is not, it's nothing crazy. Nothing, no surgery is going to be need to be done for this. Just a couple of stem cells. Little bit of patience and I'll be good. I'm already in the gym. I'm working out. I'm keeping up with my cardio. I'm light in weight. I didn't get too heavy. So I'm literally ready to smash another camp.
Well, Nazim, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations on your win. It was a tremendous fight, and I'm sure I've heard about you before this a lot, and I'm sure we'll see you again soon, hopefully by the summer.
Thank awesome. You, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Absolute honor. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, buddy, very much.
No, is there anything you want to plug? Is there anything to plug that you need to plug or no?
No plugs. I just want to give you a big thank you, Longo, our whole team. It's just an honor, and everything that you guys are saying is true. It's like an unintentional, like even if you guys don't communicate every day about the fighters, the perfect blend of the jiu-jitsu with the MMA is absolutely amazing. And aside from that, it's not only the technical aspect of things. There's millions of gyms that offer great technique and world-class training. I think it's the environment that you guys create for us. We feel zero pressure as fighters. You guys taught me how to be outgoing, how to relax a little bit in life, and I thank you guys forever for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Nas, and congrats again. Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations. Good having you, man.
Thank you.
And John, thank you too for joining us the whole show. Really, really interesting, and we'd love to have you come back. And how can people get to your school?
If you're in Aurora Grande, we're right on Grand Avenue.
Any website or anything like that? Yeah. I know you're old school.
The pit.tv, that's my online. I'm doing an online thing now.
Yeah, you have to. Come on, man. You can't get Longo off that thing. Like, calm down, Longo. Get the fuck off the phone. But I'm with you. John, hey, John, listen. It was really great catching
up. I know. You know what? I swear to God, because of that Valerina kick, spinning back kick.
Yes.
So I was asking, because I was actually debating that Alex Pereira guy. You know who that is,
right? Yeah.
Yes.
He's a champion now. Anyway, we were working together, you know, because he's Glover's guy. So we were working together once, and he does a big turn, and I don't. I don't believe in turning. So when I asked you that, I don't know that you lost a fight like that. I would never say that because John, that would be disrespectful. Right? Well, I would never have done that.
Well, first of all, I never took it as disrespect. I thought it was like, I'm so used to, maybe it's an East Coast thing more like we talked about.
Yeah.
I'm so used to, Jimmy, I swear, I thought he was playing. Because right on Jimmy, did you think John was playing?
And at first I wasn't sure. I think he was just talking about it, but then I wasn't sure. But he didn't have joke energy. He just kind of had like question energy.
But I definitely didn't take it disrespectful, John. I know you were one time, even though we're more in passing because I don't see you often. I thought you were playfully because before.
I would never do that.
Thank God I've done other things since. But before I did other things, I was a huge highlight with that back fist. But believe me, it doesn't keep me up at night. Because I am a Hall of Famer. But, John,
but if that happened, I would never I would never say that in a million years. I was talking about the Valerie thing. And do you turn before you spin?
All I know is go put that in you. You'll find it somewhere. Watch that in Fight Pass.
No, that's
and you'll get the fight.
You know
what's even worse? There was like 15 seconds left in the fight and I would have won. But hey, listen, like I said, it was only 20 years ago.
I think everybody knows you've
I've done some shit since
the
then.
Past. You.
But please come back on again, dude. Come back on again with us.
Anytime.
It was good talking to you, John. Really good
talking
great.
To you guys. Where do you live?
I'm in New York. Both Matt's in Long Island. I'm in Manhattan.
Oh, so do you guys hang out over?
I wish this guy doesn't.
It's also we're far, like traffic wise, it's further than the miles. It, you know, it's probably at least an hour and a half to get where Matt is or where I am. At least an
and
hour.
And John, even though I seem like an outgoing guy, I go to my school and then I go home. I drop my kids off at dance, school and home.
But do you travel a lot for the fights? Seems like you do.
I'm going to Rob's fight, then I'm doing something in Boston for Dana White looking for a fight. The show.
Do you do the fights at all, Jim?
You know, I went to here at the Garden. I think it was, what was the fight? The last fight I went to was the first time in like 3 years I have been.
Jimmy travels for his work. Jimmy's a comedian. I don't know if you
I'm always on the road even as much. But the last time I went to a fight, it was not the, Izzy Pereira. I think that was the last fight I was at I believe that was the fight I was at.
He's one of our guys.
What's that?
He's one of our guys.
Who, Pereira?
Pereira, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the last fight.
My grandson.
Really?
Because he's from Glover. Because it's like Glover's my son. I've had Glover since his first fight. You know, he used to live in my guest house and teach the kids class at the gym to pay his rent.
You know what they say, John? You show me your friends, you show me who you are. Chuck, Glover, all great people.
Yeah.
Just like guys. You, John Ackerman.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, man. Seriously.
Thanks, John, for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
And thank you, everybody. A great, great show with John and Nazim. And Matt, I will see you in 2 days.
Jimmy, I was really upset I did not make your show.
That's okay, buddy. You weren't feeling well. I got it. It happens. You sounded like you were sick.
I heard it was great. I heard you killed.
I do. It was a really good crowd. Sold out.
Unless they're lying to me.
No, I was happy. It was a sold out, so I was thrilled.
All right, brother.
Come see me tomorrow night, Wednesday night, in here at the Fat Black Pussycat. And then May 20th, Montclair, the Wellmont Theater is now on sale. All right, buddy. I'll see you soon.
Later, Jimmy. Bye, everyone.
Yeah, bye.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.